Chapter 4. Three Coming. That day, Alsana and Samad argued about money again. They had recently moved into their new house in Willesden Green, and it was nice, but they had spent all their money on it, and now they could not afford any food. This made Alsana very angry. After punching Samad in the stomach and throwing the sewing machine at his head, she missed, Alsana hurried out of the house and walked past the library up a long road she had never walked along before. "We must survive, little Iqbal," she said and patted her stomach. "We must survive." Halfway up the road, she saw a large white van parked outside a house with furniture in it that was much nicer than hers and Samad's. She stopped to look at it. And then she recognised the tall black woman who was resting against the garden fence and wearing very little clothing, just jeans and a tiny pink T-shirt. "Mrs. Iqbal!" Clara shouted at her and waved. "Mrs. Jones," replied Alsana and tried not to look at Clara's T-shirt. "Now, isn't that strange, Archie?" Clara said to her husband. "What? What?" replied Archie, who was in the hallway, holding a box of books. "We were just talking about you, Mrs. Iqbal. You're coming to dinner tonight, yes?" Black people are often friendly, thought Alsana, smiling at Clara. "Yes, Samad said," replied Alsana, although Samad had not. "But you're pregnant," said Clara, surprised, looking at Alsana's stomach under her sari. Alsana was quiet for a moment, and then she patted her stomach. "Don't our husbands tell each other anything?" But as soon as she said it, the women knew the opposite was possible too, that their husbands told each other everything. They just chose to tell their wives nothing. Archie was at work when he heard the news. Clara was 2.5 months pregnant.
"You're not, love," he shouted.
"I am, and the doctor said it will be half black, half white. It might even have blue eyes. Can you imagine that?" said Clara.
Archie could not imagine that. How amazing that would be. He ran out onto the Euston Road and 20 minutes later came back into Morgan Hero with a huge box of Indian sweets and started offering them to people around the office.
"Maureen, love,"
he said to one of the secretaries.
"Have a sweet. I'm going to be a father."
"Oh, are you? That's wonderful, love," Maureen replied.
She touched one of the sweets with her finger.
"Indian, are they?"
"Yes," replied Archie. "Hot and sweet, just like you."
Maureen laughed, but did not take one of the sweets. She had always liked Archie, but only a little, because he spent all his time with Indian and black people and did not even seem to notice that he did this. And now he had married one of them and had not said anything about her colour before he brought her to the company dinner last month. She had turned up as black as anything, shocking everyone. Just then, the telephone rang. Maureen smiled and picked it up.
"Yes, Mr. Hero, he's right here. He's just found out that he's going to be a daddy." "Oh, yes. All right, I'll tell him."
Then she put down the phone and turned to Archie.
"Mr. Hero wants to see you," she said. "Have you been a naughty boy or something?"
"I wish," replied Archie, and walked towards the lift.
The door said, "Kelvin Hero, Company Director, Morgan Hero, Direct Mail." Archie knocked on it gently, and Kelvin Hero opened it for him.
"Archie," said Kelvin, with a smile that showed very white teeth, thanks to a very expensive dentist.
"Hello, Mr. Hero,"
said Archie, as Kelvin Hero returned to his desk and picked up a pen.
"Please sit down, Archie. Now, this is quite difficult, and I have never thought of myself as a racist," said Kelvin.
Mr. Hero?"
said Archie, dropping into a chair. Kelvin looked at Archie's innocent face and felt uncomfortable. He looked like a baby cow waiting to be shot. Kelvin decided to say it another way.
You see, usually when I have to think about a situation like this, I would, you know, talk to you. Because I like you, Archie. And people trust you. I'm trusting you, Archie, to understand what I'm going to say.
Mr. Hero? Kelvin decided to say it straight.
You see, that company dinner last month, it was difficult. Archie, it was awkward. And now we've got another one with our sister company in Sunderland. It won't be anything great, just a curry and a beer and a bit of a dance. As I say, I'm not a racist, Archie, but you see, some of the wives don't like it because she's a real beauty. Lovely long legs. Well done on those legs, Archie. And you see, the men don't like it because they don't like staring at her when they're having a company dinner with their wives, especially when she's, you know, they don't know what to think about that at all.
Who are we talking about, Mr. Hero?
Look, Archie, said Kelvin, holding out some folded papers in his hand. His face was sweating. Take these. There's £50 of lunch vouchers in there. You can use them in 5,000 restaurants. Take them. Have a few meals on me.
Archie touched the vouchers and smiled widely.
I don't know what to say, Mr. Hero. There's a place I go to regularly. If they take these, it will be great. Thanks very much. Now, if it's okay, there's some people I'd like to phone and give them the good news about the baby.
Kelvin nodded and Archie stood up. He was just reaching for the door when Kelvin said,
Oh, one more thing. That dinner with the Sunderland team... I spoke to Maureen and we need to cut down on numbers. We put some names in a hat and yours came out. Sorry to let you down, but you won't be missing much, will you? These dinners are always a bit boring.
Of course, Mr. Hero, said Archie. But he was not really listening. He was too busy thinking about O'Connell's and wondering if they took lunch vouchers. Partly because Clara became pregnant so soon after Alsana, and partly because they lived so close, the two women began to see more of each other. They met for lunch sometimes, and occasionally a coffee. Sometimes Alsana's niece Nina came with them. They were now used to the time their husbands spent together in O'Connell's, and realised it left more time for them to go out together and have picnics. Sometimes they even went to the cinema, where Alsana covered her eyes at the nearly naked bodies and Clara got to see how the others lived, the others who had romantic love and sex. The life that might have been hers if she had not been at the top of some stairs one day as Archie Jones waited at the bottom. Then, when their stomachs became too big, they began to meet up for lunch in Kilburn Park, eating a mix of Indian and Jamaican food. They always ate a lot because there were actually five of them to feed. One girl for Clara and two boys for Alsana. I'm not complaining, please understand, Alsana said one sunny afternoon when they were sitting with Nina, or Niece of Shame, as Alsana liked to call her. Nina was a few years younger than Alsana and very beautiful. But Alsana was not happy with her because she wore Western clothes and makeup. But when the nurse told me that there were two, Alsana continued, two, feeding one is enough.
Well, said Nina, have either of you any ideas for names?
Mina and Milana, if they are girls, said Alsana quickly. If boys, Majid and Milat. I like the letter M.
It is strong. Mahatma, Mohammed, M is a letter you can trust. What about you?
Clara was not so sure. Naming her child seemed a huge responsibility.
If it's a girl, I think I like Irie, she said. It's patois. It means everything is okay, good, peaceful, you know?
Alsana was horrified before Clara was even finished.
Okay, she said. You think that okay is a good name for a child?
And Archie likes Sarah, Clara continued.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Sarah, but it's not an exciting name either. Irie is cool and different.
Alsana loved this.
For goodness sake, what does Archie know about cool and different? If I were you, I'd choose Sarah. Sometimes you have to let these men get what they want. Anything for a little... How do you say it in English?
She put her finger over her lips.
Shush.
Oh, yes, Auntie, yes. The quiet little Indian woman, said Nina.
You don't talk to him. He talks at you. You scream and shout at each other, but you don't listen to each other. He wins because he does what he likes, when he likes. You don't even know where he is most of the time.
It's 1975, Auntie. It's not like Bangladesh. Men and women have to talk in the West or it becomes a war.
What rubbish, said Alsana, shaking her head. If my husband shouts at me, I will shout back. But you think that I care what he does? You think I want to know? In a good marriage, you don't need all this talk, talk, talk. All this, I am this, and I am really like this, that you read in the newspapers. Especially when your husband is dull and old and falling apart. You do not want to know what horrible things are under his bed. Where is my husband? Where is Clara's? They lived for 25 years before we were born. What have they seen? What blood do they have on their hands? Who knows? And not everybody wants to know.
But Auntie, begged Nina,
and this is what she had really wanted to talk about, the thing that made her really angry.
How could you have an arranged marriage? How can you live with someone you do not know?
But when Nina asked this, Alsana always smiled.
Because it is much easier than marrying for love, she replied calmly.
Yes, I married Samad on the same day that I met him in India. Yes, I did not know him, but I liked him enough. I thought he had a nice face, a sweet voice, and a good body.
Very good.
Now, every time I learn something more about him, I like him less. So you see, we were best at the beginning.